very thankful to be here. I do ask an interest in your prayers. I had told Brother Will when we had decided to come here, I wanted to hear him. But I am thankful for the opportunity. Tell you the thing that's been on my mind for quite some time, so the folks from Harmony may hear some repeat of what they've been hearing lately, and Brother Will knows kind of how that goes when something gets on your mind. But the truth, the liberty that is in the truth, for the truth shall set you free. If you know the truth shall set you free. I got to thinking and looking in the scripture of just what a powerful and almighty God we have. I'd like to read you one little story. This is just one of my favorite short stories. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'm going to move around just a little bit, try to be quick here. It says, "And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha," this is 2 Kings chapter 6, "Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Doesn't seem like nothing too awful big going on here, does it? But you're about to see a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. "And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he shewed him the place, and he cut down a stick." I think that's very important. He didn't reach on the ground and pick up a dead stick. He cut down a stick. Same as our Lord and Savior came down from heaven in immortal glory down to this earth for us. "And he shewed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither." And now listen at this. Listen at what this is about to say. "And the iron swam." Did you hear that? I talked to a man about this one time. Now, I'll tell you something to pay attention to. Because in a lot of Bibles, I've even seen it in some King James study guides. You know how to give the little thing up at the top that tells you where you're at? I've got a Bible at the house that'll say that the iron floats. I've seen a couple of Bibles that in the heading up there, which is not the inspired word of God, it said that the iron floated. In the King James original version, it says, "And the iron swam." Isn't that something? Now, brethren, correct me if I'm wrong, because what I've got on my mind this morning is how wonderful and how powerful our God is. For something to swim, what has to happen? Has it not got to have life, brother? Yeah. Don't think I'm trying to be crazy here this morning. I'm not. But for something to swim, see, I've got a spare tire out there in my car that'll float. An ice chest will float. But every King James Version Bible will say, "And the iron swam." We see a lot of iron over Brother John. I ain't never seen it. Only iron that ever gets up and walks away, I guarantee you somebody has something to do with it. "And the iron swam." Brethren, I'll tell you what I believe. And I'm going to get to my subject in just a second. I believe that my Lord and Savior stood at a grave one time and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And I believe that a dead man came out of that tomb alive. I believe he came out floating because he was bound from head to foot. He didn't walk out on his own because the Lord said, "Loose him and let him go." I believe one time there was a little girl laying on the bed that everybody, all the family and the neighbors had done met together and was wailing and crying because she had just died. And the Lord came in and said, "She just sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. He put them all out except the mother, the father, and his disciple. took her by the hand and said, "Arise," and she came forth. I believe my Lord and Savior one time was on his way down here, and he decided to take the long way home, because when they came around this way, there was a funeral coming through the middle of town of the widow woman that had one son, Brother Will, and he walked up and touched the coffin, or the bier as this calls it, and that man raised up. Nothing dead could stay dead around my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is life. When my Lord and Savior said, "And the iron swam," brethren, I couldn't tell you if it had gills, if it grew a tail. I don't know. I'm not trying to be sarcastic here, but I tell you what I do believe. I believe the iron swam. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now that's what we believe. That's what we believe. And with that thought, I would like to look at the 25th proverb, the 25th verse, and show you what's been on my mind. That's just a little short story, one of my favorite. By the way, I'll give you one thing to think about. It says, "And the iron swam." Didn't say the axe head swam, did it? What was the axe head before it was an axe head? It was a piece of iron that was chiseled out to be an axe head. We all have many titles in life. This old world has chiseled us out to be a lot of things. But brethren, if we remember what we are at core, which is a child of God, all those other titles will come along a lot easier. Whether it's dad, whether it's grandpa, whether it's whatever, uncle, aunt. But in the 25th proverb, in the 25th verse, it says, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." And this is what's been on my mind. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And I know Harmony has heard me talk about this. What if we received a newsletter from heaven every week? Now we have, don't get me wrong. We've received a newsletter from heaven. Right here it is. And it's full of good news. Just like I just read. It's full, and it can't be full of any doubt. It can't be full of any shadow of doubt, because everything concerning my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Father God is yea and amen. Ain't that what this Bible teaches? Everything concerning them are yea and amen. But brethren, that is not what's been going on in our country. And for a long time. But the fact of the matter is, whether you know it or not, in this area that you are in, I promise you, from growing up around here, like Brother Will talked about, this is the only church that teaches salvation by the grace of an almighty God and don't put some type of restriction on it. I promise you. Because we got up this morning, we're so used to being in such a rush, I got thinking we're going to Macedonia. We actually got set down before we came to churches. I know the area around here. I know the churches. This is the only church in this area, I promise you, that teaches salvation by the grace of God, that God is almighty, all-powerful, and you ain't got to do one thing to go to heaven in immortal glory, that He took care of it when He said it was finished. What if our newsletter that came from heaven, though, was like is being taught in the churches around us? Think about that. Just think about that for a minute. Would God have censorship? What do you mean, Brother Bob? Well, let's say there was somebody He couldn't save. Would He put that in His paper, or would He just decide to leave that out? You see, if we was getting a newsletter from heaven based on what's being taught around us, you know who else would be putting out a newsletter? Matter of fact, they are. And that's hell. Can you imagine some of the headlines? Love fails again. They would have more joy coming out of hell than we would here. I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but what's being taught here is not the good news that is in this book. The headlines in our paper is God the same yesterday, today, and forever. An empty tomb, a risen Savior, saved by the blood of Christ. By grace are ye saved and not by works. That is the headlines in our newspaper, and that is the headlines that we have in our book. That is the headlines. It's all yea and amen. And brethren, let me tell you, some of the things going on in this world today and has been going on for a long time, the more I study about this and the more I think about this and the more that I put it against this word, it is because of what man has allowed to be taught, and it worries me in this country today. Let me tell you something. Even the study of evolution that came up, there was already teachings of things that you had to do to be a child of God. There's teachings out there that is now starting to doubt the virgin birth. There's teachings out there now that's teaching universalism, that everybody's a child of God. Or either there's teachings out there that an object of God's love can be lost eternally. And brethren, that is opening up the doors for what's going on in our country today. That's exactly the lies that has came out of the pulpits of America is what has opened up the doors for what's going on, why God's name can't even be used in Congress. Because now then it's got to be a universal God so you don't offend somebody else. Now if I'm being hard this morning, I'm sorry, but brethren, this book is the truth, and everything about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and about God the Father is yea and amen. And when what these teachings does is it takes away from the glory of God. That's all it does, Brother Wheat, is it takes away from the glory of God that this book teaches. It's opened up the doors for what's going on in our school systems. It's opened up the doors that's going on, in families. There is the awful things that are going on in our world today. I'm thankful for all these babies. You don't know how much I love to see all these children on. I'm not trying to be too graphic here. But pornography in America is standing on the First Amendment. Freedom of speech. Freedom to show what you want to show. Brethren, the forefathers that out of this book that wrote that did not have those things in mind. We have the teachings that is taken away from the glory of God has opened up the doors for what is going on in our country today. Without a doubt. And Brother Will, I'm thankful so much that in this area that Macedonia Church I know is standing on the truth. Brethren, I'm going to tell you what. We don't need to take this lightly. Now, what are we supposed to do? I'm going to tell you. I feel like we've made mistakes in the past too, because, you know, for too many times, in the past, there's been circumstances where, I guess, we were ashamed to stand up and say what we felt and what we believed. Maybe because we didn't fit in with the rest of the world. Well, guess what? We're not supposed to fit in with the rest of the world. Yeah. We're supposed to be in the world, but Jesus said we're not supposed to be of the world. Brethren, the more I look at it, the more I think about it, our Lord and Savior was persecuted the way he was because he just did not fit. Our Lord and Savior was the biggest hypocrite that's ever been, according to what the church world was that day, according to them. Because he came in and turned it upside down. Look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, what he had before the road to Damascus. I mean, do you know how high in authority that man was? To be able to go to the governor and get papers, a license to kill. That's what Paul had, was a license to kill. When he had been whipped, I know I won't get this right, but it was twice within a stripe of his life, I believe he said. He'd been shipwrecked, been put in prison. You know how many of these letters was written from a prison? Cold, hungry, dark. And brethren, he counted everything before that done. compared to winning the knowledge of the excellency of Christ. Isn't that something? I've thought how many times, now you want to talk about the mercies of God, how many times Paul must have sat in that old prison cell and thought about the time that he held the coats while they stoned a young man named Stephen. How many times he must have hung his head and said, Lord, forgive. I know, because there's times even now, I know the Lord has forgiven me, but there's times something will be recalled to my memory, Brother Will, and I'll still say, why in the world? Lord, and all you can say is, Lord, forgive. But brethren, what we have in this book, and let me tell you, it is the King James Version Bible that we need to be in. All these other books has been written. Be careful, because the truth, you know what? I'll say this and I'll get out of Brother Will's way. I was thinking on the way up here this morning, which we're used to this around here, how many bicycles we passed. People riding bicycles this morning. They've worked all week. You know, they've got their weekend. They're free. But they're going to get on that bike and they're going to ride. Brethren, this week we'll be celebrating our freedom and our independence, of what our forefathers did and what they fought and how they fought and what they went through. Let me tell you something. There is no way that war should have been won. You look at it. I've seen documentaries on TV. There's no way that America should have ever won that war. And things started falling in place. It was unreal. You go read accounts in World War II of storms that came up. Storms and fog that came in and turned the whole battle around. And brethren, the truth is, the greatest battle ever fought for our freedom and for our liberty was fought on Golgotha Hill at a place called Calvary. That's where our independence came. I'm here to tell you. That's where our liberty came. The greatest battle ever fought for independence and for liberty and for freedom was fought at a place called Calvary. When our Lord and Savior, when all His friends, when the whole world forsook Him, when He that knew not sin became sin, and that day, you know, I've thought so many times. You know, after He was baptized and He went into the wilderness, Satan came to Him. You know, everything that Satan tempted Him with, He said, if thou be the Christ. Remember? Satan still uses that one today. Well, if you be a Christian, you ain't going to let that happen, are you? Before you know it, you've done got everything busted up. And it's happened. Satan still uses that one. But every time Satan would question Him, he'd say, if thou be the Christ, then command that these stones be made bread. Do you know when our Lord and Savior was hanging on the cross? You know what they were crying? You know what the high priest was saying? If thou be the Christ, bring thyself down. He can save others. Let's see if He can save Himself. Our Lord and Savior fought a battle we can't imagine that day. But He put all the powers of evil, everything that came up against Him. A good example of it is go over there and look at that slaughter of the kings with Abraham. But listen, and I want to get out of Brother Will's way here. Stand on the truth. Raise up your families. Standing on this right here. Believing in it with all your heart. Looking to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't let your children, what I meant to say is, let your children see you pray. Let them see you open up this book. Talk to them about these things. Talk to them about the truth, because I promise you, when they get out into the schools and when they get out into the world, they're going to hear it in a whole different way. I remember being a kid one time right over here in school. And I remember a man coming by preaching to us. I was probably 6th, 7th grade. And I remember him asking the question, everybody that want to be saved, raise your hand. And after that, everybody that raised their hand was going to heaven. Now, brother, I'm going to tell you, we need to teach our children what our Lord and Savior came to this earth and did. And why you are really saved. You're not saved because you raise your hand. You're not saved because you decide to receive and accept. You're saved because of what our Lord and Savior did on the cross of Calvary. And all that He died for will be in heaven in immortal glory one day without the loss of one. I thank you for your time.